Suti is 67 years old. 67! And he holds the record for the longest running children's programme in the world. Career highlights include firing a water pistol at Prince Philip, being mayor of Blackpool for a day, and starring in a Peter Kay pop video. Now, in a programme from 1998, Jack D tells his rags-to-riches story in When Harry Met Suti.
Here he comes.
Here he comes.
Oh, it's sad. It's sad. Here we go. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Got it.
Matthew wants to retire. He always said he would retire at 50. He can't wait to retire.
Take the hand away. Just wipe the corner of the eye. No, no, your eye.
That's it. Of course, I am Harry's younger brother. I was. I am now 75.
Harry died in August 1989. So what did that make him as? I know, it wasn't he 59 when he had that bad heart attack? So he did live quite a few years after that.
You've got a water pistol.
That's it.
Sooty doesn't show a lot of emotion, does he?
I mean, I really do wish that there was a Corbett to take over, because I think that it's part of the tradition of Sooty, the fact that there has been a Corbett for, you know, well, 50 years it's been going. But they've auditioned for new presenters and chosen a couple, and they look very good.
Leanne, just with the eyes, everyone looking right smack bang at me. Richard, we can't see your face. Richard.
The night that Harry died, they'd done their show in Weymouth. Marjorie said it was the best show they'd ever done.
Sorry.
Everything had gone perfectly. They went for a meal after the show, and then they came home. Harry went to bed, and that was it. Marjorie just found him. He'd died during the night. So that was the end of that.
Except that wasn't the end of that. It was certainly the end of an era, but with Matthew Corbett's help and the little bear's indifference towards whose hand he has inside him, Sooty recovered from his bereavement almost immediately. For Sooty, as with so many artists of his calibre, the show must go on, and nothing can stand in the way of his need to entertain children. Perhaps it's this, above all his qualities, that has secured Sooty's longevity. A career spanning 6 decades means that his fans today are often the grandchildren of his original followers. In this respect, Sooty is rather like Sir Cliff Richard. Indeed, legend has it that Sooty turned down the offer of a knighthood, feeling that in his case it would sound more like a stutter than a title. Sooty.
I was in a supermarket the other day and there was a Sooty and a Sweep on sale, and you press their tummy and the music of the programme played. You know, it's funny because, you know, I can't get the old one out of my head. It goes...
The great secret about Sooty is that you had to watch it. There was a television set, if you were lucky enough to have one, in 1952, and there it was in the corner. It was a huge box with a tiny little screen, maybe with a magnifying glass in front of it, and you turn it on, there was nothing on it. And then at 1:05 went beep, and this little dot had arrived, and then all of a sudden this announcer in a DJ said, "Good afternoon, this is the BBC, and here for children is Sooty." And that was it. I mean, there was no commercials, there was no run-up, there was no alternative. There wasn't ITV, which meant that it was put into everybody's mind. It was there, like it or hate it.
Hello? Hello, anyone in? Are you there, Professor?
Oh, hello. I've come to see Professor Sooty for some singing lessons. They tell me he's very good, but I can't see him anywhere. I don't know where he is. Oh, well, we may as well sit down and have a tinkle on the old piano till he gets here.
Sooty is a puppetry phenomenon. Born only 3 years after the end of World War II, he brought a sense of fun and abandonment into an austere Britain. After the horrors of war, America was pricking up its ears to the infant strains of rock and roll, while Britain began its infatuation with the taciturn Yellow Bear. Harry's brother Les, for years the guiding hand behind Sweep's career, and his wife Muriel still remember how Sooty came to life.
The Corbett family loved Blackpool. They went for years to Blackpool for the holidays, and it was this particular day when the weather wasn't very good, and they went on the pier, and they saw this little glove puppet, and he bought this to amuse the children with.
My father found Sooty on the North Pier at Blackpool, and he definitely didn't find me, but we do celebrate the same year. I'll be 50 this year and so will he.
After the holiday, when they got home, they said, "We shall have to find a name for it." It was Marjorie that suggested they black the ears. The hand went up the chimney and brought the soot down, and they blacked its ears with soot, didn't they? And so, consequently, they called it Sooty.
Well, I think my father hit on something when he brought a teddy bear into his routine, because he was a magician, you see, and he used this teddy bear to pull cards out of a hat. Now, teddy bears are what most people put into their baby's cot first. Generally speaking, when that baby comes home from hospital, you do not put a new Windows 95 computer in there or a box of Lego or Muffin the Mule because they're hard and sharp. So you find something gentle, quiet and lovable and usually it's a teddy bear. And then when the child grows up a little and is aware of its surroundings, it goes, look, there's a teddy like mine, but that one lives. Because Sooty moves. And I think that was purely by chance, but I think that's why it was successful and always will be.
And Harry, at that time, was working for an insurance company to do with electrical equipment, I think that was it, which was a reasonable sort of a job for a young man. And then came the time when he did the closed circuit show from the town hall locally with Sooty and the magic tricks, and apparently it went down like a bomb. And then he got this offer to go into show business.
All over my jacket and all of my face, blub orange. That's another suit for the cleaners. I'll have to go and change now. And sweet, don't leave those roller skates by the door. Someone will go for it.
Harry and Leslie were very close as brothers. We had a double wedding. It's just another instance of the togetherness, the family being so close. And Marjorie and I always called each other sis. Yes. We used to have such a wonderful social life because we were always involved, we were always invited. And Harry used to have celebrities up from the theatre. It would be when Harry was doing his shows down at the Alhambra in Bradford. You know, come up for a drink sort of thing. Dickie Valentine, Morecambe and Wise, Jimmy Clitheroe. Just to name a few. Sooty was there. Harry would do his little bit, of course. We've some lovely memories, haven't we, of those days.
That's a very young Harry photograph. And they tell me that I'm very much like him. I think I am.
And then, of course, Sweep came along. Harry wanted to introduce another character. And that sort of turned out to be Leslie's job, to cope with Sweep.
Oh, he's here. Floppy is the wonder dog. The thickest skull in the business. Oh, I didn't mean it, Sweep. You think you're very clever. And so do you.
You see, the job wouldn't stand a fully paid operator, so Les helped Harry in his spare time. So there was a point where we never sort of could manage a holiday altogether because Les was using that time to go and record at the Manchester studios with Harry.
So it was a family affair. From the early TV appearances to stardom on a national scale, Harry Corbett roped in the whole family. Wife Marjorie made over 300 of the tiny outfits and was also the voice of Sue, the little panda best known for her ability to play the piano simply by crashing her arms down upon the keyboard.
Sue walks with a wiggle. Everyone thinks she's a honey. Sue, adorable Sue on TV. She's so cute and so funny.
But inevitably, controversy was part of the picture. When Harry first suggested creating Sue to bring a little female influence into Sooty and Sweep's laddish world, the BBC was not happy, worried that young viewers might be corrupted by the concept of Sooty with a girlfriend. Sex and the Single Bear, read one headline.
Sue, she's Sooty's girlfriend and he loves to take her out.
But the punishing schedule of touring and recording began to take its toll. A quarter of a century after discovering Sooty on the end of Blackpool Pier, the success turned sour.
Harry had his heart attack the year that I was with him as a guest artist. We were in the West End, we were at the Mayfair Theatre for the Christmas period, and he actually had a heart attack on Christmas Eve. And we were all very jolly and we'd had a little Christmas drink together and then we had this awful phone call the next day from Vincent Shaw.
I got the phone call. Christmas Day. It was Christmas Day. So I went to see my father and it looks as if he might die. About 50-50 it was. He looked absolutely awful. So we all were very upset, and the next day there were three performances to do. The agent guy came round and I said, cancel shows. We should have closed the show, really.
They were saying, you know, the show couldn't go on, and I said it could. And I practically had to blackmail Matthew into doing it, but I did. I shouted at him, I think.
And he said, look, listen to this. He said, if your father does survive and he comes round, the first thing he's going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, he's going to say, what happened to the show? If you say, well, we cancelled it, he's going to say, well, in that case, I'm checking out because I will now owe loads of money because the contract on the theatre still stands. You have to pay the rent whether the show's on or not. If, on the other hand, he comes around and says, what happened to the show? And if you say, don't worry, Pop, the show's going on, I took over, I'm standing in and it's going great, then he'll say, well, in that case, I'm going to live. And actually, put that way, I had to agree that probably that is what would happen.
And so we all went back in and Matthew came and stood in for his father. And, of course, he was coming in from scratch. He had to learn the show and we all rehearsed. And, of course, at this particular time, Harry's wife, Marjorie, she was working in the show as well as Sue, sitting underneath, wired up for sound. And, of course, that was great fun because she and Harry had tremendous sense of humour. They used to play little tricks on one another. But, of course, at this particular time, she was spending as much time as she could at Harry's bedside. And she came in and did the show.
I didn't know the show. I'd seen it a few times when it was going along. My mother knew it, but her husband's in hospital, possibly dying, so she was fairly distraught. So we had to do like a generation game thing and like write words on the back of puppets' heads and bits of scenery and, you know, things coming out from the wings and on the front of microphones and what you do next. And actually, it became hysterically funny for probably all the wrong reasons, maybe because we were all so emotional. My mother was thinking, is my husband going to die? I'm thinking, is my father going to die? Are we going to get this message? So it all became quite hysterical, got a little bit out of hand. I mean, you just led to the giggles, really. I mean, and that's why I thought people might throw things at me. But we got through, and it got better, and it got better, and he got better.
Connie Crichton, who joined the team shortly before Harry's heart attack 23 years ago, is now herself a sooty veteran. Working with a silent bear on television and stage, she eventually became Matthew's number two.
It's getting near showtime now, so I've got to wake Sooty up. He's been having a rest, you see. Come on, up you come. There we are. That's it. Now then, you're going to meet some boys and girls in a minute, so we'll just give your hair a brush. Make sure there's no sleepy dust in your eyes. All right, let me have a look. Are you all ready to meet your public now? OK. What, should you surprise them? What, you mean you're going to go down in the box? All right, well, you go down in the box.
So he's a star in his own right. It's very interesting that when the show is presented by Connie Crichton, it makes no difference at all to the booking. Nobody says, where's Matthew? It's Sooty that they want to see. And so long as it's presented sympathetically and professionally, it's Sooty is the star. Just the same as Mickey Mouse is the star. Who cares? Walt Disney's dead, you know.
Who's this? Well, we'll find out. Right, you're going to tell Sooty your name?
My name's Arthur.
Can you shake hands with Arthur? Well, of course you can. Very good. Yeah. Oh, Sooty wants to know, is this your brother?
Yes.
Yes, and your name is?
Gus.
Gus. Hello, Gus. You're going to shake hands with Sooty? You'd rather give them a kiss. Ooh, what do you think, boys? What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, who's going first?
Me.
Okay. Oh, that was a good one. Right, now, Gus, it's your turn. Oh, no. Sooty, come on, give Gus a kiss. What are you doing? What are you doing? Harry always looked after Sooty himself. Sooty would be in the dressing room with him and he would prepare him for the show. He would brush his hair, make sure he looked just right, and he would accompany Sooty onto the stage before the show. No one ever did that for him. But of course, Matthew came in, obviously, completely different relationship.
My father was, I mean, he wasn't fanatical, but he was just about on the borderline of being slightly worrying about the whole thing. I mean, the classic story is that we went on holiday as a family. I think I was about five or six, so I just remember it vaguely. Sooty had done us very nicely, the family, and he had a Bentley at the time, and we were going off down to Cornwall from Yorkshire near Bradford. We got about 5 miles down the road, and my father slammed on the brakes, and he said, I can't go without him. And my mother said, but Harry, they're both in the car, the boys. He said, no, I don't mean the boys. He said, I can't go without Sooty. So we turned the car around and actually drove back. and collected this little box so that Sooty could go on holiday with us. Now, the difference is that I suspect that if I got 5 miles away from home, I might stop the car and say, hang on a minute, I've just remembered he's in the boot, I'm taking him home.
Most of them. Can he get it out, Sooty? Yeah. Oh, it's all right. He didn't say the magic words. He's got the wand. You jumped back then, didn't you? Good gracious me, what else have you got in here?
Oh, a little phone.
Did you know Sooty had a mobile phone?
No.
No? Well, all superstars have a telephone. Look at that. Well, Sooty said, should we ring your house?
Yes.
There won't be anyone there, but we could hear it ring, couldn't we? So you tell Sooty his number and he will press it in.
I don't really know it very well, so we can ask my brother to.
All right, right. Gus, what's this number then?
0181.
Right. Oh, then Sooty, yeah.
867.
Now are you happy? You play Sooty's tune on your xylophone instead. Oh, no.
Harry and Sooty were one person, really. He'd have the puppet on his hand, and if he was talking to someone, the puppet would be answering and nodding his head and waving. And
Harry didn't need to think about what Sooty was doing. It was there automatically, as much as his own gestures were.
My father loved being recognised. He liked people to ask for his autograph. I suppose quite right. He was very clever and he invented something and he revelled in it. I, on the other hand, don't care for it very much. It can wear a little thin. After 25 years with my father, he loved it still.
The important thing about Harry and Sooty was that, to Harry, Sooty was his alter ego. I mean, we would go out to dinner and he would lay a place for Sooty. If he was ever concerned about anything, he would talk to Sooty. It was part of his personality. He felt completely lost if he didn't have it with him. May have been Harry sort of forming an ideal child, I don't know. It'd be nice to have a child so you can put back in the box when you feel fed up.
Is that the audience?
I bet he's going to open up again.
Oh, he won't open it up anymore. I'm sure he won't open it anymore.
As soon as you say that, he opens up.
He's peeping. Sooty! Listen, you've got to get ready to go to work. He won't peep anymore. I don't think so.
I'm watching that do what he does.
Are you just watching that crack?
Yes.
Sooty, come on, come on. Right, no more, Sooty, no more. No, you've got to get ready to do the show.
I'll tell you something. All this singing has made me hungry.
Yes, and me.
And you're hungry as well, are you, Sooty?
Hey, did I hear you lot talking about food?
You did, Connie. Listen, I don't know about you, but Sooty, Sweep, Sue and I are all going to nip off now and get something to eat. Right, you lot?
Yes.
Imagine if you were David Frost. Wherever you go, somebody's going to say, hello, good evening and welcome. They are going to do that. Imagine being Bruce Forsyth. To see you, nice, nice to see you. Imagine all that. Well, the one that I have to live with is, where's Sooty? I mean, what am I supposed to say? And actually, usually, there is another word inserted. I have to say that, you know, it's usually like teenage lads or something that shout it across a marketplace, and it's, where's Sooty? And, of course, they think of all sorts of little words to put in the middle of it because it's a bit naughty, isn't it? And then just when your head's down and you're trying to choose something at Boots, and then there's five kids 3 aisles away going, Sooty, where's Sweep? Where's Sweep? You know, oh, dearie me. Do you get the impression that I want to get out of the business and don't let bitterness creep in? No, it's been very good to me, and I, you know, it's just one of those things.
Life at the top hasn't been easy for Matthew. He stepped into the breach short-term when Harry had his heart attack. But how did he find himself in the position where for more than 20 years teenagers have been shouting, Oi, where's Sooty? At him wherever he goes. We have to go back to 1976. Harry's convalescing and the doctors have told him that if he wants to stay alive, he must give up telly and the stage shows. Matthew is now the obvious long-term candidate. Only one problem. He's already got a job in television as a musician alongside George, Zippy and Bungle on the 70s hit children's show, Rainbow.
The choice had to be made. Was I going to have a go at doing the Sooty bit? It was a very risky thing to do, actually, trading the good job on Rainbow to try to do Sooty. And I think if I hadn't had a job, if I'd been unemployed and things had been going badly, I probably wouldn't have taken that opportunity because I would have said, no, 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 no. Everybody will say, well, of course, you know why he did it, because his dad gave it to him. But at this point, I'm able to say that that wasn't why I did it. I did it because I had a choice. I said, if I take over, then I want to pay for the company so that at the future date, you can never ever come back and say, look, that's mine, you were only being a caretaker. So I did. We arranged through the lawyers and accountants for me to buy.
Sooty was Harry's life. All he was living for, really. It was everything. And, of course, after he was ill, that was all cut off, wasn't it? It was forced to be upsetting for him.
When he'd had his heart attack. But there must have followed on from there a period when he must have begun to think, well, I'm over it now. I'm getting better. I'm going to get back to normal. I'm going to be able to do sooty again.
I did buy him out. But 18 months, 2 years later, even though I'd bought him out, he said, look, I need to do this again. And I said, well, you can't because, you know, you sold it to me. And he said, oh, but I have to do it because otherwise I might just as well not live.
Matthew knew what it meant to his father. He reached an agreement with Matthew. They were very amicable, and Matthew said as long as Harry wasn't performing in the same town as Matthew was performing, he could carry on and do these shows.
Well, it was very tricky. He lived down near Bournemouth. He said, look, how about if I just do like the South Coast and I'll do my shows down there? So I said, well, all right, but it's very confusing for viewers because all of a sudden it's Harry Corbett, then it appears that Matthew Corbett's now doing it and Harry Corbett doesn't do it. Now here comes Harry back again. And is that Harry on stage or is that Matthew on stage? So it was all very confusing. But anyway, he insisted and said he wanted to. I said, all right, stay down south. I'll play the major dates up north. No telly for you. You just do the down south, which he did. But then he felt a bit better and a bit better, and he got a friend of his to promote the show, and the show started getting a little bit further north. And I remember once going to play Croydon. Manager came around the dressing room and he said, what on earth are you guys doing? And I said, what? He said, well, look, he said, you're here at Croydon. You're also in Bromley next week. And I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm in Rotherham next week. And he said, look. And he showed me this poster. And, of course, it's my father. Got booked into a theatre 12 miles away from where I am. So it's same catchment. And, of course, there are contracts on these theatres which say you will not do this and you won't do that and you certainly won't have another show with a different presenter threatening business. And my father hadn't quite realised that he'd got so close. But, I mean, I was pretty cross because I was being threatened with legal action. And we had words, and my father apologised and said it wouldn't happen again. And sure enough, actually, he did then restrict himself, and he used to play Weymouth and one or two South Coast places, and he loved it. And actually, he almost died on stage.
As is so often the case, stardom for Sooty and those closest to him has meant ups and downs behind the scenes. There have been fights and reconciliations over the years, but in Sooty's case, the dynastic element of his relationship with the Corbetts is mirrored in any Sooty audience up and down the country.
We've been coming to see the Sooty show for years. My mum and dad used to bring us when we were kids to all the Sooty shows, and now we bring the children to see him. The children love him. He's just very funny, isn't he?
My favourite show is Sooty in Space.
Mr. Foreman, are you there?
Hello?
I came and watched him here like 25 years ago.
And your mum wouldn't buy you a puppet, would she? And you were very cross about it.
25 years ago. I'll still remember that.
This is the Sooty that my brother had 20-odd years ago. And he's a lot smaller than the present-day one. And he's a bit threadbare. But he's still lovable.
No, there doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think...
This is actually a raccoon, which I made into a Sue lookalike with a bit of gingham, you know, because they're quite expensive to buy. I also made a sweep.
And an old Sooty.
One of these we got from a boot sale, I think, the very old-fashioned one.
There's one here.
We've had most of them for years, you know, since we were children. And we bought this one at the show when we were here last year. So that completes our collection, I think.
One, two, three.
It's a long way from Sooty's original sig tune to the hip sounds you'll hear at one of his live gigs these days. And perhaps this is Matthew's greatest achievement, keeping Sooty up to date and where it's at. He may not be the little bear's alter ego like his father was, but he does have a head for business and he knows what the kiddies want.
Instead of having this genial, bald-headed Yorkshire grandfather figure, which was very charming and whole generations grew up with that all of a sudden, there was this 27-year-old long-haired flared trousers, which was fashionable at the time, I'll have you know. All of a sudden, the image was totally different, and I think that a lot of the young mums said, oh, that's better. Now, a lot of the older people would say, you know, it's not the same without Harry. You know, that's true, it wasn't the same. But it doesn't necessarily mean it was any better or any worse. It was just very, very different.
Harry was lovely. He was kind of laid back and it was, oh, sooty, you know, not another egg kind of thing. And Matthew came in, full of bounce. Everything was done at the double. And he started then to write the music. Everything kind of moved up a couple of notches in speed and brought a different lease of life to Sooty and his pals.
Hey, hi. It's Sooty and Co. Everybody says hello, hello, it's Sooty and Sweep.
It's 50 years since Harry first discovered Sooty on the North Pier at Blackpool, and son Matthew turned 50 this spring. Now it's time for Matthew to rest his right hand. In fact, his last stage show with Sooty was at Christmas. It's not that he hates the very sight of Sooty, he simply wants to spend more time with his family.
My life will be different. I will miss Sooty. But I suppose, you know, if you've been forced to bang your head against the wall for 10 years, you would miss that if you stopped, because your life would be different. I've run up to a crossroads in my life, and I've come here very, very quickly. My feet haven't touched the ground. Now I've reached the crossroads, I want to stop, stand still, and walk away in a different direction. I will exchange the Sooty in my life for something else in my life. I'm not sure what it will be. But I've had 27 years of operating Sooty. Enough's enough.
Enough's enough. When he took over from his father, it was Matthew's youthful enthusiasm that rocketed Sooty through the 80s and 90s, a megastar in a time when there was far more competition than in the cosy days of Harry. And just as Harry sold Sooty lock, stock and barrel when he needed to take things easy, so Matthew has now sold Sooty to the Global Rights Fund, who are determined there'll be a Sooty and Sweep as long as there are children to watch them. And coming full circle, Matthew's handing on the baton to two vibrant young presenters, Liana and Richard. Watch out for them on stage and screen from September.
I think if Harry Corbett was looking down, I think he'd be happy. I mean, one of the things that's interesting for me personally is that my background is in magic and illusion. And Harry Corbett started as a magician. He was a magician, and Sooty was introduced into his magic act within a card trick routine. And obviously, he didn't realise what he'd unleashed, you know. The popularity of Sooty overtook his magic. So I'd like to feel that perhaps an essence of Harry, you know, I think perhaps he'd be happy that there was some magic influence. And I'm sure he'd love Liana. She's a babe.
Roller skates. Didn't I tell Sweep? So there you are, hiding behind the piano. Just wait until I get hold of you both. Just wait. I'll give you it.
But they love you when the show is done.
When Harry Met Sooty was presented by Jack D and produced by Suki Firth.